Welcome into the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brentz. Tonight, I am joined by Ray DeCune. How are you doing, Ray?
I am good, Ben. What about you? We get to hang out at the Mets game Sunday. Too bad Syndergaard wasn't exactly sharp, and the Mets continue their trend of not really liking to hit too much this season. But other than that, it was a fun afternoon.
Yeah, it was. You know, after the first inning, I really thought Kyle Freeland was going to get absolutely obliterated, and then he pitched better than Syndergaard, which made no sense, kind of disappointed me. But, you know, it was nice to get a hangout and go to the game, even though they did, in fact, lose. So, but did you do anything else this past week, Ray?
Nah, just normal, exciting life, just living the dream, man.
The dream of fantasy baseball.
You got it.
We're also joined today by Colin Weatherwax. How are you doing, Waxman?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good. What you do this past week? Anything fun? Any Rangers games or, you know, no?
No, I didn't go to the Rangers games, but I didn't get as much sleep as you did.
That's good. But,
oh, you're talking about the guy that
wasn't creepy at all. Don't worry.
Yeah, it was very weird, Colin. We're gonna move on from you now. So, but thanks. We're also joined today by Evan Peterson again. How are you doing, Evan?
I'm doing well, as long as Colin's not watching me sleep. That's good.
Evan, I'm looking forward to when you come in this upcoming summer, and we're going to get to catch a Yankee game.
We were chatting. Father's Day weekend, it's going down. We're going to hit a baseball game. Me and Ray are going to go see Dead & Company. I'm just going to say, if you don't think John Mayer is a good guitar player and you're going to give me crap for being excited about going to see him, then come fight me in my Twitter mentions.
Have you seen him live?
Absolutely. He's phenomenal. I saw him at Wrigley last year.
He's awesome.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing John Mayer live actually playing the guitar.
Well, I'm glad we're on the same page. Hopefully our baseball discussions give us a little more argument here.
No, you give us argument.
I do.
All right. Evan, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter?
Yeah, catch me outside at FWFB. I've been kind of tied up. I've been at my mom's house holding down her fort while she's been sick. But I will get back to tweeting about Ozzie Albies losing his helmet. He's getting better. And I'm not even talking about his hitting because the Braves are in first place, in case you guys didn't notice. But yeah, let's all join in making the Mets' lives terrible and in giving us 5-star rating reviews. That would be great.
Wait, the Braves are in first place? Ozzie Albies is good?
I mean, a lot's changed. Small sample sizes and whatnot, so you can piss on me all you want, but let's go. Yeah.
I didn't realize he was into that kind of thing. I would never peg me as someone who's into that. But
R. Kelly.
Colin, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter?
You can find me at CWeatherwax13. I won't be going on rants about the Braves. That's kind of like the Eagles from last year. Just, yo, we won a Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. Now they're in first place in June. Or not even June, May.
Go Rangers.
You and your Ranger rants are just jealous.
Don't bring up that name, please.
Calhoun.
Billy Hamilton.
He sucks. He's not on my team, and he sucks. So, you know, at least it's not like Willie Calhoun, who's just sitting in the minors being a little bowling ball.
Come on, Ben, admit it. You're a little upset that the Mets got Devin Mrazek instead of Billy Hamilton for Matt Harvey.
Man, I just wish Matt Harvey went to a team that was actually good at pitching. Now he's going to be even more worthless.
Wasn't he at a team that's good at pitching?
That's okay. I heard this on MLB Network the other day, and they were like, oh, Matt Harvey's going to go to the Giants. It's not, I think Dempster was saying it. Oh, he's going to be great to go to a good ballpark. And he's already got that. Why are people still buying into the Matt Harvey thing? Like, just let it go, man. Like Adriana Lima, let it go.
Thanks for that. You know, it's very disappointing. Anyway, Ray, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter?
I am on Twitter at Ray_Hune_28.
I can be reached at BBrandSFWFB. Guys, tonight we're going to be talking about some players that we're going to be looking a little deeper into the analytics behind their performances to start off the season. So we're going to be talking a little bit about XFIP, FIP, Sierra, all that. And we're just going to kind of try to give a deeper dive in and tell you if the players are someone that may be worth buying or selling, and we'll go from there. So, Ray, why don't we start off with you, and let's start talking about Alex Wood. What made you put Alex Wood on this list?
All right, I put Alex Wood is one of those pitchers that I would consider to be a little bit, I don't know if divisive is the right word, because he's clearly talented, but if you draft Alex Wood or you have Alex Wood on your team, you can't exactly expect much length in the game from him. The Dodgers are going to be cautious with him. You know, he's good for a sin or two on the DL with the blister, this, that, whatever. So for all the people that were down on Wood going into draft season, they look at him and say, oh, he only has a 3.83 ERA. He's not that good. But then you're going to take a deeper dive and you say, oh, wow, his FIP is 229. So in reality, per that, fielding independent pitching, which is what FIP is, they're saying his ERA should be 229. And then you're going to take a deeper, another dive. His BABIP, batting average on balls in play, is 261. His career mark is 299. 300 is considered normal. So you're saying, all right, he's going to get some positive regression in the BABIP. But we also should at least note that last year it was 267. His strand rate is 52.6%, normal 75%. So those two things come up, all of a sudden you're getting a lot closer to that 272 ERA he had last year. He's 0-3 so far this year in 7 starts. Last year he won 16 games. You hate to chase the wins. Dodgers have been struggling so far this year, but I think they'll get their act together, and he's going to be a good mark for some wins as we get deeper into the season. And he's still per 9 innings, so, and he's only walking 1.13. So I'm going to look at that 3.83 ERA and see maybe, all right, if I can buy a little low on Alex Wood. What do you guys think?
What about you, Colin? What are your thoughts on Alex Wood?
I think he's frail, just like all the other Dodger pitchers. I mean, we've seen Rich Hill, obviously Clayton Kershaw going on the DL. That hurts a lot of teams, but Ray, you kind of hit the head about, you know, Dodgers pitching just always going on those DL stints. And I know he's 0-3 now. He won 16 games. He went 16-3 last year. I don't see him, you know, repeating that because he'd have to win 16 games for the rest of the year. But even if his percentages improve, he's still going to need some more innings in order to get to, you know, the positive regression that you're talking about. And I just don't see it with Alex Wood. I don't see him repeating what he did last year or even coming close. I see this probably being the real Alex Wood, you know, kind of 3.80s to 4 ERA guy. I think 50% left on base percentage is a little bit low, so that would probably come up a little bit. But, I mean, he's due for a blow up, and I don't think that he can repeat what he did last year in the 152 innings that he provided.
What about you, Evan?
I mean, he's due for a blow up. I don't think anybody's going to go ahead and argue that. But as far as being frail, I think a lot of that's tied to how people have viewed his delivery coming on up, and they kind of compare him to like a Chris Sale, and it's, oh, his arm's going to fall off. And then, I mean, yeah, he's got bumps in the road over the past 2 years, but hasn't been anything entirely major. As far as like the walk rate right now, not sustainable. He didn't give up any walks over his first 3 starts. So that's kind of floating his numbers as we look at this like small sample, but not a small sample. The home runs are nice, and that's something that he's done before. I just think that as far as his whip is concerned, he's got more bounce back, and it's, you know, do you think he's going to be 2017, or do you think he's going to be, you know, more like 2015 or even what he was, you know, back with the Braves? But I think that being under the tutelage of like a Kershaw, and while the Dodgers are notoriously a team that are probably going to play around with that 10-day DL, given their situation with Kershaw, with Rich Hill being what it is right now, with Ryu going through what he's going through, they don't have that luxury with Wood until he's actually hurt. And I think they're going to keep just throwing him. And it's like Steven Strasburg from last year. Do you think he's going to get hurt? Do you think he's not? I think selling right now wouldn't necessarily be the greatest thing in the world. I'm actually kind of buying on Alex Wood because I think people might be a little low on him if they look at just like surface ERA numbers. But I mean, I still think he's a talented pitcher, and he's definitely, you know, better than he was when he left Atlanta. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's someone that I'm looking to buy because I expect his left on base to come up, and which will show that his ERA and everything will improve. His XFIP and his Sierra are both roughly in the same ballpark of a low three. I don't expect him to have, you know, like a 2.3 ERA, but if he finished with a 3.4 to a 3.2, somewhere in that range, I wouldn't be totally surprised. I still think that he's good to almost have a strikeout per inning. He's not going to walk a lot of people. He's someone who right now is having a great whip, and I believe that that is going to be a present for how he does for the remainder of the year. He's not walking people. He's at like 3.6% walk rate, which is phenomenal. I think last year he was like at 6, roughly. And I can see how the BABIP could sit around the same spot as he had a 267 BABIP last year. It would be nice to see his soft contact rate improve. Right now it's around 15, and his hard contact rate is higher than what it was last year. So if he can kind of balance those back out towards the mean and improve the soft contact rate, I think that he could see an improvement in those numbers, and he's someone that I'm looking to buy on rather than sell, because I'm not sure if you could sell him now, if you would get what his peak value could be. But I believe that he has more likelihood of being able to reach peak value this year than if you moved him now, what the value you'd get in return is.
Right. And as far as his BABIP's concerned, like, his fly ball percentage is up. His BABIP should probably actually be a little bit lower, and the balls just aren't leaving the park. His home run to fly ball percentage is under 6. But even if you normalize that, like if you're looking at an XFIP, I was looking at the numbers. We had been on a steady trend of so XFIP is calculated with a 10.5 home run to fly ball rate, and the past 2 years it's been up over like 12.5, 13.5. This year it's down close to like 12. It's actually been lower than the past 2 years. But I think that has been a skill that Alex Wood has exhibited as far as keeping the ball in the park. Now, whether he's going to keep it up to this extent or whether there's tiny bit of give back is kind of, you know, up to variation. But I think it's definitely something in his favor as far as a buying point.
All right, why don't we move on to next player, and Colin has nominated Mike Clevinger. So, Colin, why don't you tell us what makes you bring up Mike Clevinger for this particular show?
Well, I love Mike Clevinger coming into the year. So, you know, he's kind of close up there with the leaderboard on the FIP. Right now he's at 295, but it's actually playing really close to his actual ERA, which you don't see very often because his ERA right now is 276. And he's a guy, you know, last year he showed, you know, he has a funky delivery, which a lot of people kind of knocked, I guess, kind of like Alex Wood, like you were saying, Evan, but, and he was striking out a lot of batters. And so coming into this year, I was expecting more or less the same as far as strikeouts, but he's kind of regressed in the strikeouts, but he's also improved on his walk rate. He's improved on his home run rate. And he's just, I think he's become a complete pitcher, and he's improved on his ground ball rate as well. So that, all that being said, I still think he has the K upside this year to provide. I mean, we saw it last time out against New York. I know he was overshadowed by Domingo Herman, but he threw 7 innings of one hit ball until a reliever came out there and let in a couple runs, but he had 10 strikeouts. So throughout the year so far, you know, he had a complete game 3 strikeout game, but still he's going to provide you with what I think is going to be, you know, less than four ERA for the rest of the year. He has the capability to strike out 10 plus batters per nine. He showed that last year. And even if he doesn't, I still think he's going to be very effective with the improved ground ball rate, like I said, and just overall improvement, especially being with Corey Kluber in that pitching room and kind of working on his slider, which is already magnificent. So that's the guy that I'm looking to buy if I can in any of the leagues that I have.
For me, Clevinger is someone who I liked coming into this season because I thought that he would be someone who could have decent ratios, get some Ks, and because he's on the Indians, he'll be able to get some wins. And he seems like the type of player who will be able to get you, you know, quality starting at least half of the starts, but you could expect that he's likely going to get you 27 to 30 starts for the year. So, you know, you'd get roughly 15 quality starts out of him, which would be roughly on par with what you would need from a mid-level type pitcher. Obviously, his ERA is going to regress a little bit because he's just giving up home runs at a 4.5 of a home run per fly ball at a 4.5% clip. And he's not striking out a ton of people right now, but I believe that that number could increase as the year goes on. I think that as he keeps getting more and more confidence, I think that he's going to keep improving on those numbers. Obviously, he has a good left on basis rate at 75.8%, so there's nothing wrong there. He has a good whip and ERA. His average is relatively low. It's at a batting average against of 212, so that could come back as his BABIP potentially goes up. But I think he's someone that you would look to buy, even though you can expect a slight regression coming from him if he drops roughly a run in ERA to a run and a half. So.
All right, for me, I'm going to take the opposite take, and I'm going to say I'm going to sell on Clevinger. So I think the Clevinger we're seeing now from an ERA standpoint is probably the best we're going to see it all season. In the past, yeah, he has shown the ability to strike guys out. This year, it's just really at 7.7, so it's not great. But there's some things to like. The hard contact is down this year. Ground balls are up. That's a good thing. BABIP's 266, so it shows that that gets close to the 300, then maybe we'll get a little closer to the 392 XFIP or the 407 Sierra that he has. But at the same time, I do like the fact that the hard contact rate is down. I like the fact that his line drive rate went from 24 to 16%, and that's where he picked up the gains in the ground ball. But to me, Clevinger, I can't see him doing any better than the sub-3 ERA that he has. I know the FIP and the ERA are pretty much in tandem, which, like you said, Colin, we don't really see. But I'm sure it's going to get much better from here for Clevinger.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Murphy's Law, everything turns to crap, entropy. You can't just expect fantastic things. I mean, he's given up two home runs. His home run fly ball rate's less than 5%. He's going to give some of that back. The weird rabbit hole, and that's why I didn't really get involved in, like, jumping in, and Ray was kind of like, oh, okay, I'll do it, was, you bring up his hard hit rate. On liners and fly balls, his hard hit rate this year is barely over 28%. It's the sixth lowest in the league behind Nola, Jordan Montgomery, Justin Verlander, and a couple scrubs that don't really have huge sample sizes. But I just think that there's a lot of like smoke and mirrors going on with Clevinger. It's not that I wasn't excited about him, but I, like Ray said, I think this is kind of the best that you're going to get. One of the biggest things that I liked about Clevinger coming into this year, and I even said this on the Indians preview, I think, was that, on another show I was comparing it, his second time through the lineup numbers, he had like the 25th bet, like he was in the top 25 as far as batting average against. Like when guys got a second look at him, he was still doing fine. And this year it hasn't been the same. He's got like a 333 batting average against. Once again, small sample sizes, but it's something that, you know, I wanted to see. I'm not really seeing right now, but you look at like his 212 batting average and his whip where it's at right now, it's kind of weird to say that, like, given the numbers, there could actually be betterment there. But I think kind of Clevinger is what it is. You're going to get fair value. I don't really see it as like a sell high or a sell low type thing. I think even though he hasn't provided like massive K numbers, I think you've still gotten a pretty good return on your investment. And I think I just kind of hold and want to see where the boat takes me.
All right, why don't we move on to the next player, and that's going to be talking about Rick Porcello. So, Evan, what made you nominate Rick Porcello?
I mean, he's a really divisive – I mean, once again, you want to talk about divisive guys. This was somebody that was waiver wire fodder until he won a Cy Young. Everybody knew that he wasn't going to do it again. He came back. He had a crap year, and he's come out of the gate, and he's been fantastic. So, spoiler alert, I did all my notes at work, like the good little worker bee that I am, and then I forgot to send them. What I do remember was that in his Cy Young season, he had 11 starts of 6 innings pitched where he didn't allow a walk. Last year, he had, I want to say, 6 off the top of my head. This year he's had 4 already. So the walk rate, while, you know, less than 1 per 9 is probably unsustainable. He has done this before. And, you know, you kind of take a look at the 2016 Cy Young season and you hold it up to what he's doing right now. And you see a lot of similarities. The ground ball percentage is, you know, over 40%. The ball's not leaving the park, when it's put in the air. And so, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to go out and win another Cy Young, but once again, he's another one of these guys that I don't necessarily know that I'm cashing in my Rick Porcello chips right now. And that might be crazy, and there might be people that disagree with me, and they might be sitting right here. But I just kind of wanted to see what you guys thought as far as what Rick's given us so far.
All right, to be honest, I was including Porcello as one of my guys. And then I saw that you had him, cursed you, and then looked for somebody else. So, I mean, I think I'm with you, is that I'm hanging on to Porcello because I think there's a lot of skepticism around Porcello. And if I did look to trade him, I'm not going to get equal value. And, I mean, to me, if he regresses to his xFIP, which is 3.09, dude, sign me up any day of the week. I'll take that from Porcello. Like you said, in the past, he's not walking guys this year. In the past, he's shown that he doesn't walk a lot of guys. So it's not really a surprise to me. The home run fly ball rate is 4.8%. That's going to come up. If you look, really big difference from last year to this year is 39.2% ground ball last year is up to 47.6%. And the corresponding change was a decrease in fly balls. So that's a good thing. The hard contact is down from 38% to 27.2%. And if you look back in 2016, it was 30%, 2015, 32.8%. So again, there's some precedence here. So I think I'm with you. It's kind of boring, but I'm with you, Evan.
Yeah, for me, I'm actually on the other side. I sold Porcello. Like you said, Evan, you know, a lot of people could either be on your side and they'll ride the wave, but I sold him in a league. I sold him for Domingo Santana, which I think he'll turn it around. And being that Porcello has been in the league for almost 10 years now, we kind of know what he is. And based on all of his other numbers, you know, going back to 2009, whenever he was with the Tigers, I mean, he never really had like an injury shortened season. So his peripherals and all of his data is pretty much in line. I mean, the lowest amount of innings that he's pitched is 162 innings back in 2010. So, I mean, we all try to compare him to 2016 Rick Porcello, and I just think that was, you know, that's going to end up being the outlier, which I'm sure y'all agree with, that that's going to be his outlier season. But I think that, you know, he's going to be that middling pitcher. He's going to be a mid-fours to low-fours ERA guy, and he'll get you some strikeouts, yeah, but it's not sexy. It's not someone that you're excited about owning. And that's something, as a fantasy player, for me, I want to be excited about owning someone.
So the funny thing about that, and you say like, oh, he is what he is, like, so if you want to talk in real baseball terms, it was Dombrowski that came over from the Tigers, right? And then he picked up Porcello because he had that relationship with him, and then he came out and he became the Cy Young winner. And it's we all sit here and we go, well, nobody could have predicted that. And it's like, well, why the hell did this guy who'd been sitting over here watching him in Detroit for however many years, you know, he moved and he's like, nope, this is the guy that I need to bring with me. So, I mean, yeah, while Porcello is kind of a is what he is guy, quote unquote, but it's funny because I heard Ray say you're not going to get fair value. I think you're going to get the plus value on whatever you drafted Rick Porcello at. I mean, I think cashing in right now, you're going to get a plus. Now, that's based on his draft value and maybe not necessarily on what he's going to do going forward. But
yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not trying to mince your words or to put you in a corner or anything like that, but you said that, and I didn't want to interrupt you. I don't know. I mean, like, we've seen it before, and what's the old adage that once you display a skill, you own it? Like, he just displayed Cy Young awesomeness, and maybe he can do it again for another season. He can pull the smoke and mirror trick again.
I don't think that Rick Porcello is someone that you have to worry about getting great value for, like you were saying, in regards to where you drafted him. Yeah, you may not get the exact value of what you expect, because if he keeps it up the entire year, the likelihood that you are able to trade him and get max value on everything is pretty slim. I'm still trying to buy him in a lot of places because he's someone who is consistent, solid innings eater. There's been times in which he's had lower ERAs and higher ERAs, but this year he's not really walking as many people. He's striking out people at a better clip. Yes, I can expect that strikeout rate may decrease and that walk rate may increase, but there's nothing that he has shown through all of his starts this year that has led me to believe that he's just going to go and fall off the cliff for the remainder of the year. Yeah, he may not have a Cy Young finish to year, but I can see him putting up top 30 numbers for the rest of the season, which is still something that I would want to try to acquire. And I think that if you are able to get him, then he's going to at least give you pretty good value, because the likelihood that he gives you lower than top 50 value is pretty slim. And I think that you got him expecting him to probably be around a top 40 to top 45 pitcher. So if you get anything better than that, it's a win for you.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that he's going to fall off a cliff. I just think he's going to regress to his career numbers, which is, you know, a high 3 ERA guy. And, you know, right now he's sitting at 214. So, you know, he hasn't had those starts where he gives up 4 runs back-to-back, 5 runs back-to-back, and shows, you know, that Rick Porcello that we know. So I don't want to say that I think he's going to fall off a cliff. I just think that, like you said, Ben, this is probably his peak value, and I want to cash in while I can.
And I totally get that. I mean, it is something to be said that if he does maintain this for the rest of the year, are you going to change your tune? Because this would be 2 out of the last 3 years that he's put up top-tier type numbers. So would this, like, what would he have to do to change your mind going forward? Does he have to put this up for the remainder of the year? Or is this someone that you may never buy in on because he has been so inconsistent from year to year outside of being an inconsistent person?
Probably the latter, unless he gets traded to the Astros.
Well, that spin rate would go phenomenal.
And then he'd be throwing 100 miles per hour, and then he'll just be a completely different pitcher.
All right. Why don't we move into the next player, and we're going to be staying with Evan. We're going to go with Gio Gonzalez. So Gio Gonzalez had a really good year last year, but what made you put him into this group for this year, Evan?
That he's having a really good year this year is why I put him in here, because it's another one of these like Rick Porcello things. It's, you know, this is a guy that everybody kind of loves to dump on because he's not the sexiest name or whatever, but I do think that there is kind of the other shoe waiting to drop as far as Gio is concerned. Anecdotally, from owning him over the past couple of years, I can just recall times where he just beats your brains in with these like 5 to 6 earned run blowups, and he hasn't done that yet so far this year. He's been one of the, once again, notes at work, but he's been one of the best pitchers as far as with runners on base. I believe his ERA, or I don't even want to give the number, but I mean, he's been absolutely phenomenal when he's been out there. And once again, it's one of these things like, do you buy in or do you not buy in? Of course, everybody goes, it's just Gio Gonzalez. He sucks. But he's one of these guys that's consistently on the field. Like, you look at since he came over to Washington, from what I remember from the notes, he was like, he's thrown the like 16th or 17th most innings since like 2012. The guy's always on the field. And I know we live in a time where we're always looking for the next thing because our pitchers are always going on the DL. And it's kind of like Rick Porcello right now. Like, they may not be the most fantastic thing in the world, but like when you need them in a pinch, they're probably going to throw quality innings that you don't really have to like roll the dice on. You go, okay, that is what it is. And kind of go from there. If you play in leagues where, you know, you favor the win, obviously being on a Nationals team that, while I tote the Braves being in first place, obviously we expect the Nationals to be better. Even though Matt Adams is absolutely crushing the ball. Like, who needs Ryan Zimmerman from last year when you have Matt Adams, former Brave. But obviously I think that's something else that he'll have in his back pocket, even if he does give up the blow-up starts. And the whip has been a lot better as well. So I just think across the board, Gio doesn't get the love, and that, you know, probably trying to pinch him from the owner right now, who's maybe been eyeing his stats right now, might be a little harder. But I think you could kind of buy into some of that Gio Gonzalez stuff and get a quality pitcher down the stretch.
Am I wrong for thinking that it was wrong for people to be off the Gio Gonzalez bandwagon? I mean, if you look at all of his years from 2010 on, he's only had 1 year where he's had over a 4 ERA, and that was 2 years ago when he was with the Nationals, when he had a 4.57 ERA. Every other year has been under a 3.8. So what exactly has made us think that now all of a sudden he's doing like what Rick Porcello does, as what Evan said, when he's basically been a good pitcher for all the last 8 years or so outside of 1 year? What really pushes us to believe that he's not a good pitcher anymore?
To me, I think the problem with Gio that I think maybe gives him a raw deal with people is the walks. I mean, again, he's at it again this year. He's walking close to 4 guys per 9 innings. And if you look at the whips, 2015 it was 142, 2016 it was 134, last year it bounced back to 118, and then it's back up to 134 so far this year. And that's also part of what drives the XFIP up. But I mean, again, XFIP is 364. If I'm going to get that from somebody that's going to make 30 starts, strike out 8 to 9 guys per 9 innings, he's actually a little over that so far this year, and have a chance at winning some games, sign me up. Yeah, he's not spectacular. He's not the new and exciting next best thing. But as a fourth starter, third starter, depending on the league, probably more okay with him as a fourth starter. But still, I'm okay with that production.
I'm going to throw a name at you right now. He's like 2012 Yovani Gallardo is what he is. The guy that nobody wants and everybody pisses on, and like Ray said, has the whip. But, I mean, he's kind of a quality guy for you.
Yeah, I mean, if you could absorb that, then, yeah, I mean, he's given up 2.9 homers per 2.9 home runs fly ball rate. That's obviously going to go up. But, I mean, still, he's a solid guy. I'm not running to get him, but if you got to plug a hole in your rotation, why not?
See, I'm in the bandwagon that I think that depending on what type of owner you are, I'm the type of owner who is okay with using numerous good whip relievers that will keep my overall team whip down. So I can afford to take someone like a Gio Gonzalez who provides good stats in 3 of the 4 categories. And sure, occasionally he's going to give you bad whip games, and more often than not, it's going to turn into a bad whip for the entire year. But I still think that depending on the type of staff that you build, you're able to support it. And I think that of all of the categories, whip may be the easiest to balance out of the two ratios, just because you could easily have players like Scherzer and Kluber and Clayton Kershaw when he's healthy and Justin Verlander that you could have easily drafted at the beginning, and they will be able to help balance out his whip, and you'll have potentially a player like an Aroldis Chapman or a Kimbrel or someone of that nature that can be in the bullpen, or maybe you picked up someone like a Davinsky. There's plenty of players that will have low whips that will be able to help balance it out, and he's on a team that you should get wins. He should still get you quality starts because he doesn't give up a ton of runs. He'll still get you strikeouts. So I think that he's someone that we may be underselling, and he may be worth trying to buy on because the owner may be thinking, like our group here is thinking, that he's someone who's over-exceeding their value and what they should be able to do, and he's someone that, in the right scheme, may be able to be extremely helpful.
The one thing I want to note on what you said, Ben, is in a daily league, I think that strategy plays a lot more than a weekly league.
I would agree with that. Colin, what are your thoughts on Gio Gonzalez?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ben, about, you know, throwing my roster together where I have a lot of safe whip guys. I like Andrew Miller and Josh Hader types that'll balance everything out for me. But, Evan, you picked two really boring guys for me, and I'm a flashy guy. And I know, you know, you're a Braves fan. I'm surprised you're not picking the flashy guys. I mean, that's your whole team right now.
What flashy guys are we talking about right now?
Mike Clevinger, man. No, but for Gio Gonzalez, I think coming into this year, you know, we looked at last year and we all thought it was lucky. I mean, look at his FIP and XFIP for last year. It was the highest of his career besides his rookie season. He had a 393 FIP last year and then a 424 XFIP. So that showed everyone that what he did last year isn't sustainable. And that's why, you know, he wasn't flying up the draft boards. He wasn't someone that you would take as your third starting pitcher and feel super confident in it. So he's a boring guy, and I understand that they have a place on most rosters. You know, I wouldn't mind having him as my fourth starter, but, you know, I can't sit here and say, yes, give me Gio Gonzalez whenever I don't want any of Rick Porcello's, you know, stock. So,
okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But, so, just for fun, Rick Porcello is 9th on the ESPN player rate. Oh, Gio Gonzalez is 26th. Mike Clevinger is 32nd. I think I'm bringing the high heat right now. I mean, if you want to say that I'm bringing you boring guys, like, come on.
Yeah, but it's a month in. You know, let me know at the end of the season where they all rank.
God, and people keep saying that, oh, it's just a month in. Oh, I'll it's do just that. two months in. And then you're like, holy shit, Gio's a top 30 pitcher. Like,
and there he is in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Let's not get out of control, right? He's not going to go to the All-Star game.
Just saying.
Hey, it could happen. Angels in the outfield. Anybody? No, but what I'm saying is, you know, like at a certain point, like this kind of is what it is. Like I understand for the first month, small sample size, kind of ride the pine fence. Oh, which way am I going? But like at a certain point, and like Ben said, Gio's been good for a while. Porcello won a freaking Cy Young award. Like I understand it's fun to piss on him, but like at a certain point, they are what they are and they're good.
All right, Colin, why don't we move over to you? Let's move on to the flashiest player of this group, and that's Zach Greinke.
Yeah, Zach Greinke. I mean, Mr. Consistency. We've been talking about Porcello and Gio Gonzalez and how, you know, up and down they are, and this guy just brings it every season. I mean, coming into the year, I did a draft really close to the beginning of the season where everyone was, you know, very scared about drafting Zach Greinke. And I think I got him in like the 6th or 7th round, and it was just absurd. So, you know, this is a guy that no matter how much his velocity declines, he's a very cerebral pitcher. And, you know, he's going to provide you with below 4 ERA. I know right now he's at 4.10, but his FIP is at 3.67. His xFIP is at 3.02. And this is just a guy that's going to get it done. He's still striking out 10 guys per nine. You know, his home run to fly ball rate's a little bit higher than his career average. And, you know, despite the velocity concerns, despite, you know, all the concerns coming into the season with his injury as well, he's still going to provide you with probably a top 20, top 25 season. And for a guy that's done it as long as he has, you know, it's someone that's super valuable, and I'm going to try and buy him if I can.
What are your thoughts, Ray?
I kind of have to agree with Colin to a point in the fact that Greinke was somebody that I ended up on in a bunch of teams this year just because as we got fifth, sixth, seventh round, I started watching him drop, and I was like, hey, wait a second. He's still a pretty good pitcher. I'm going to jump on this. Obviously, the 10 strikeouts per nine innings is a good thing. Love the fact that he's walking barely over a guy per nine innings. But again, the velocity, and I think we can't – so far this year, he's pitching, doing well in spite of it, and the FIP and the XFIP shows that there's a little more positive regression coming with the ERA. So that standpoint, yeah, you have to like Greinke. You have to like the track record and the body of work, but at what point does the velocity really get concerning? And he's still down, depending on where you look, a mile, at least 1.5 to 2 miles per hour on his fastball from last year. So, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned, and I don't know if at some point the humidor is helping him in Arizona, if at some point the bottom's going to fall out. So, I mean, I have him. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not sure I necessarily want to buy Greinke anywhere, though.
What about you, Evan?
Yeah. Why? I mean, the thing with Greinke, and once again, kind of anecdotally, is that he doesn't get off to fantastic starts. Like, he's the reason that Trevor Story became part of the legend that he was, because Trevor Story just took his ass deep and, like, two straight, you know, games in April, whatever his rookie year was. When Colin says that he's cerebral, you can also read that as he's kind of a basket case. Like, let's not forget that this is a guy that had major stress issues, I believe, back when he was a Royal, back before he, you know, busted a rib playing basketball. He's a weird dude. Not like UFO weird or anything like that, but there's just always kind of seems to be something with Greinke. And right now you kind of look at his home and away splits and his away ERA, which is over 7, and his home ERA, which is under 2. And obviously you can say humidor, small sample size, 3.15 batting average against on the road. Like, okay, there's, you know, other stuff that's going on. I think he's proven to be a talented enough pitcher that he's probably going to go ahead and iron it on out, if you want to go ahead and say that. But, I mean, I didn't invest heavily in Greinke to begin with. I think there are greener pastures, and I think a lot of people would kind of take a look at it and say, yeah, he's probably due for a little bit better than the hand he's been dealt right now. I don't know that it's going to be leaps and bounds above what he's done. I'm not saying it's a year that he falls off the cliff, but there's something when I watch him that makes me happy that I'm not investing in him, even if the strikeouts are up or even if the walks are down. It's just a bad situation. I don't get a good feeling about it. And so if, you know, Colin feels good about his flashies at Greinke, then I mean, I guess I'm okay with it, but I'll be fine where I'm at.
Yeah, for me, Zach Greinke is someone who I know to be consistent, and he's going to get you strikeouts. He's on the best team in the National League right now, so he's likely to get you wins, and I expect that.
What did you just say?
I don't know. What did I say?
Yeah, he's on the best team in the National League. You bite your tongue, sir.
I'm sorry. He's on a team that's much better than the Braves. Sorry, I should rephrase that. Anyway, before I was rudely interrupted by Evan Peterson, he's someone that is consistent, but obviously he's had a little bit of a tough time while he has been in Arizona and two to three seasons that he's been there, he has had some trouble with his peripheral numbers. Obviously, his numbers are saying that he's should be about half run or to a run better than where he is now. And while I do expect it to regress towards that, I could see him having a 3.8 ERA for the year, which is not really what you expected when you paid for him. So he's someone that, while I know to be consistent, he's someone that I would look to hopefully have like a good start or two and try to sell and try to get back some of the value by the name, more than anything, of what people expect him to be, because I'm not sure if this is going to be a year that he's going to be as good as everyone thought he was going to be. So
I think that's kind of factored into his draft price, though. I mean, like me and Ray said, he was just falling in most of the drafts that we were in. So it's not like you paid a heavy premium to draft Zach Greinke. And I think the humidor has definitely helped him out as well, because he's been throwing his changeup at a higher pace than even at his breakout season with the Dodgers in 2015. And I think that's also a testament to how smart he is as a pitcher. I mean, he's adjusting to the league. He's adjusting to the hitters that are only looking for, you know, 90-plus mile-an-hour fastballs and wicked sliders. But he's kind of zagging while everyone else is zigging. So that's why I call him, you know, a smart pitcher or a cerebral pitcher, because he does his research. And I know he had a little hiccup whenever he was younger and with the Royals, but I think, you know, as he's gotten older and more mature, he's become, you know, one of the best pitchers in the game, and you can't just, you know, throw that out the window.
No, and I don't mean to make light of what he went through in Kansas City or like slam him for it. I mean, I understand that, you know, anybody in their early 20s can go through absolutely anything. I'm not trying to hold that against him. What I meant to say was that it just always seems like there's something with him. And I don't know. I do agree with what you said. He's a very smart guy. You hear, you know, Eno talk about chatting with him about different things. He's a very smart guy. I don't mean to hold any of that against him. It's just one of those things where I watch him and he does not give me the warm fuzzies.
One thing that you're going to have to watch and keep an eye on as the season progresses is the fact that his three worst starts have all been on the road and all of his home starts this year have been pretty good. So that's something that you're going to want to keep an eye on, because he's given up at least four or five runs in every away start, and he's given up one run in all but one home start, and the other one he gave up two. So,
but his home run distribution is even. It's, I forget, 4-3. I forget which way it leans. I think he's given up more on the road, to be 100% honest, but I closed out of that window.
Yeah, and obviously the fact that opponents and the Diamondbacks alike are hitting about 50 or so points less in batting average than they were last year at Chase Field. That's something that you're going to obviously have to your benefit in terms of base runners, so the ERA can stay down. But, you know, as of right now, he's a borderline top 30 pitcher as the season is right now. I expect him to finish as a top 15 to 20 starter. You know, he could be better, but obviously if he keeps having bad away starts and good home starts, that's something that you may have to consider trying to move on from him as the season progresses if he does not improve those home road splits.
And speaking of which, just this is what I do when Ben's talking. I kind of like fact check him. With runners on base, his K percentage is up almost 34%. He's never had a season in his career where he's been over, looks like he had one where he was 29 and then 26. So, I mean, when you look at runners on base, Greinke's also doing some awesome stuff there too.
These next players, let's we'll move the pace up a little bit. Why don't we move on to the next player, and that's going to be talking about Marco Gonzalez. So, Ray, what put Marco Gonzalez on the list for you?
All right, I don't want to speak for Colin, but I'm guessing maybe it's the same thing that attracts Colin to him a little bit. If you look at the ERA, it's 5.19. Last year, the ERA was 6.08. So, I mean, between that, doesn't exactly paint a good picture for, if I can get that out, a good picture for Gonzalez. And his minor league career, mostly with the Cardinals, has kind of been up and down. He's had some success. But 5.19 ERA, 3.08 FIP, it's a huge disparity. 2.74 xFIP, so we're getting even lower. And then if I take a look, he has a 400 BABIP, 68.3 left on base rate. Both those are going to improve. He's striking out 9.87 batters per nine innings, and he's only walking 1.56 batters per nine innings. So to me, there's a lot to like there. Gonzalez is most likely waiver wire fodder in majority of leagues. Starting pitching is not easy to come by. If I see a disparity that big and he's striking guys out and he's not walking guys, I'm going to take a shot on him.
What are your thoughts, Colin?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ray. I mean, you know, I looked at his ERA for the season, and then I looked at his FIP and xFIP, and my jaw just dropped to the floor because this is a guy that, you know, he was a highly touted prospect in with St. Louis. And, you know, being that he's in Seattle now, that and he has a solidified, you know, starting rotation spot, which was not guaranteed coming into last year. And then also we didn't know about it coming into this year as well. But yeah, he's someone that, you know, in deeper leagues, I'm loving to go pick up off of the waiver wire or trying to just trade, you know, a bench bat for him because everything peripherally looks great. And he just hasn't, you know, he has the unlucky BABIP right now. He has the high ERA right now. And if the owner for him is just frustrated with him, then I'll make a low ball offer, you know, to try and get him. And he's given up some runs, but you know, he's given up runs to Houston, to the Angels, to Cleveland. You know, he's had a pretty tough schedule, and he might still have that, you know, going forward, being that he's in the AL West. But, you know, he has a nice strikeout rate. You know, he doesn't walk a lot of guys. So he's someone that I'm definitely buying and hoping that I can either stream or just throw in my SP slot and, you know, watch him improve throughout the year.
What about you, Evan?
He's an interesting guy. I might gamble with him in some spots. He's obviously gotten a lot better. And I was reading an article that had a bunch of his quotes. He was talking about coming back from the Tommy John surgery, getting a feel for his curveball. If you take a look at like his like Fangraphs game log and you take a look at his pitch value, obviously at over the past four starts, you take a look at like his curveball value, his changeup is actually kind of one of his better pitchers, but he's been throwing the cutter a lot more too, which doesn't suck. It's actually kind of league average. So it's something as he's kind of getting a feel for his pitches and he's moving on, he's doing better. He's an interesting name to watch, but I would still probably need to see probably 3 to 5 good starts out of him before I would want to like actively go out and acquire him. I know that he had decent starts against the, the Astros, the Indians. He's had, you know, a couple decent lineups, but I just kind of need to see a little more. He doesn't quite have the Mike Clevinger buzz, if you will, but he's definitely been doing a lot better. So we'll put tabs on Marco Gonzalez, and maybe we'll revisit this in June.
He's someone that I would want to try to buy now as opposed to waiting for a few good starts because I want to buy him while his price is low. And I am willing to let him sit on my bench so that we can see exactly what happens as the season progresses. Because if he does come closer to his FIP and xFIP, then he's someone who you'll automatically gain value on with whatever you made a trade for if the guy is willing to give up a bench bat or someone who's underperforming on your team that you don't necessarily need. So I think that there's a lot of opportunities that you can take advantage of while he's performing poorly now that can benefit you as the summer goes on. Why don't we move into Ray's last player? We're going to be talking about Tyler Chatwood. Ray, what about Tyler Chatwood puts him on this list for you?
All right, Chatwood, I'm just going to come out right out and say it, that going into the season, I was wrong about Chatwood. I was like, oh, he's moving out of Colorado. He's going to Chicago. When he's with Colorado, especially last year, you look at his home road splits. Like, all right, out of Coors Field, things are going to look good for Chatwood. And on the surface, yeah, guy has a 3.31 ERA. He has two wins, three losses, whatever. Striking out close to not a batter an inning. You like that. But then we get into the FIP, 427. All right, could be worse. If you think about it, a quality start, the ERA is 450. So 427, you can live with that. Then we go to the XFIP, 505. What the hell's going on here? Guy is walking 7.44 batters per nine innings. To me, that's just insane. His career mark is 4.33. If he keeps that up, it's going to catch up to him. I'm not sure that he could continue on that pace because it's just a crazy pace. But I'm not necessarily saying that I'm going to move away from Chatwood. In some leagues, I think I just picked him up on waivers in one league for essentially for free because I can use an extra starting pitcher. But I'm just kind of looking at Chatwood a little bit differently, at least until he gets those walks down. And I'm going to try not to be blinded, really. I don't want to be blinded by the 330 ERA until he improves on those walks.
Yeah, Ray, I was a little nervous on where you were going to go with Tyler Chatwood because I know how much you loved him in the preseason. So I was the first thing I was going to throw out is he's walking seven guys per nine, which, like you said, is insane. But yeah, he's a guy that I'm staying far away from. If he keeps that number up, where his walk per nine is almost as much as his K per nine, he's going to find himself out of that rotation in a flash because he plays for a contending team that's wanting to go to the World Series, and you know, and they'll beat the Braves to do it, Evan. They're not scared of them. But you know, they're not going to let him play around with his mechanics. They're not going to let him walk almost eight guys per nine innings and have him figure it out. I mean, at some point you just kind of have to cut your losses, and he's a guy, I don't even see him working in the bullpen because if he comes in and just walks in a run, that doesn't do him any good either. So, you know, he's treading onto a short leash. So you might only have him on your roster for a couple more weeks here, Ray, especially if he keeps this up. And he's a guy that I'm actually looking to fade and get as far away from him as possible.
Yeah, why is anybody surprised about Tyler Chatwood and his walk issues? Like, isn't this something that we kind of knew when we were buying into him? And it was all just, oh, hey, projection, and his road numbers are fantastic, and he's going to be great when he goes to Wrigley. No, he's still going to have problems finding the plate. And it's nice that he's been able to kind of procure the amount of base runners that he's had. Now the one thing is that his hits, except for the game against Pittsburgh, haven't really been crazy. He's never given up, you know, more hits than innings pitched, but obviously, you know, the walks are definitely floating his whip right now. I wasn't a huge Chatwood believer. I can understand why people are speculating, but you got a 1.5 whip and he's got a less than 200 batting average. Which one do you think is going to cave first? That was a serious question. Anybody can answer. That laugh did kind of count, but I don't necessarily know who Chicago would go to replace Chatwood is kind of the struggle. I don't really know who they have in Iowa, even though I'm from here. I don't pay that much attention to the Iowa Cubs. I don't know what they have coming down the pipeline as far as their pitching. I kind of thought that's why they went out and got Darvish, because they didn't really have a ton. I mean, they're not the Braves after all. Let's go ahead and put it that way. But yeah, I'm just not a Chatwood guy. No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not a Chatwood guy. I don't have much else to say. Yeah,
I'm not sure there really is much to say about that.
Is he the Billy Hamilton of pitchers for you, Ben?
He could be. There's a good chance. I'll get back to you on that.
All I heard was Ray like Forrest Gump, and that's all I have to say about that.
Why don't we move on to the next player that we have, and that's Ronaldo Lopez, and this is Collins, man. So what makes Lopez so flashy for you?
He's flashy, but he's someone that you need to get rid of as soon as possible. You know, he's given up his first five starts. He gave up one or two runs. He had a 10K game, and everyone was kind of jumping on the bandwagon. But since then, he's had two strikeouts in five innings, two strikeouts in 6.1 innings where he gave up 10 hits as well. And somehow he only gave up two runs in that game. So his ERA sits at 2.43 right now, but his FIP is at 4.76. His xFIP is at 5.65. He is striking out six guys per nine innings. You know, all of his peripheral stats, all of his advanced metrics just look awful. And he's a guy that hasn't given it up yet. He gave up four runs his last start to Minnesota, so it kind of showed a little bit. And he didn't give up. He didn't strike out a batter in 6 2/3 innings. So he kind of showed, you know, kind of what he is. And if someone still believes in the first, you know, four starts where he wasn't giving up anything, he had a 10 strikeout game, and you can get anything for him, then I would try and sell him. But if you don't, then keep him on your bench or just straight up drop him, because he's going to be hurting your team sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but I think you took all the words out of my mouth. I mean, I drafted Lopez in a few leagues late in the draft, kind of an upside starting pitcher 7 or 8. Obviously, I rolled with him, and I'm already starting to kind of fade him, keep him out of my lineups, and then him going off my roster is going to be the next step, and I think it's coming quickly. I mean, he has a 224 BABIP. The only way place for that to go is up. I mean, the FIP xFIP reflects that. He's not striking guys out, so it's not like you're getting much value there. And then when you're walking four batters per nine innings, there's not really many good things to say about Lopez right now.
Well, the BABIP's coming from his fly ball rate, which is at almost 48%, and his home run to fly ball rate is under 8. So I think that kind of has a lot to do with it. And I think once it kind of heats up in Chicago and the ball starts flying out a little bit, you might know what happens there.
Yep.
And it's funny, you said you took all the words out of my mouth. The one word that Colin didn't take out of my mouth was woof. Like 2.43 ERA. His FIP is over 4.75. His FIP is over 5.5. Like, I agree. If somebody would like to take on this headache for you, by all means, go ahead. I mean, next year, the Chicago White Sox could be a perfectly phenomenal team that does not make the wild card like this year. But, I mean, if somebody wants to go ahead and believe that Ronaldo Lopez is going to become one of these, like, rookie pitchers out of nowhere, that's going to be awesome. By all means, let them go nuts. Yeah, I don't understand why we're still talking about this guy.
Yeah.
The only thing that you guys didn't say that I will get to say, because you guys took everything else out of my mouth, was the fact that he is maintaining a ground ball rate under 32% is another reason that you can also expect that he's going to just start getting pummeled at some point, because it's like we've been saying the entire time we've been talking about, there's nothing that stands out as anything that could remotely state that he's doing anything well, other than the fact he's not giving up home runs at this moment. Outside of that, everything else is pointing towards a total regression of a run and a half, if not 2.5 runs, and that he's just going to get absolutely annihilated as it warms up.
The bottom line is you got to find somebody in your league that doesn't know what FIP is and then trade Lopez to him.
Tell him FIP is good. Higher the better.
There you go.
Why don't we move into the last player, and it's going to be talking about Tyler Molly. Evan, I know that you love you some Molly, so why don't you get started on talking about him?
I hate to say, the only person that mentioned Tyler Molly's name in the offseason, because there was probably somebody else that did, probably Todd Zola or somebody else really smart. But, like, literally, I brought up Tyler Molly's name on the Reds previous show with Mike Warner, and he kind of he was like, why the hell do you want to talk about Tyler Molly? He's been actually really good, and I know that he had a couple bad starts against Pittsburgh, and I remember watching that game, and it was one of those, like, balls cold, couldn't feel his fingertips type thing, where he unraveled and he gave up two home, like, Taillon had a single to drive somebody in the second. He was cruising, and then double dong in the fifth or sixth, and it kind of unraveled for him. Same thing in the Cardinals game. I believe Yachty went yard on him in like the second, but other than that, he had faced the minimum through like four, and then he unraveled in the sixth. Fowler and somebody else blasted off of him. The one thing, and I brought up this leaderboard before, and this is the one that actually brought me to the Mike Clevenger leaderboard about the second time through the order last year, was that Tyler Molly also was really good through the second time through the order. He was top 25 last year in batting average. And this year, he's still doing fairly decent in that department, but once he gets that third time through the lineup, he's getting absolutely cranked. I believe after he's seen a lineup twice, his batting average against is like 485. And the only other person over 400 is John Gray at like 415. So Molly is a guy that he's not going to get a lot of wins because he's on the Reds. He's probably not going to get a lot of wins because he's going to start getting yanked out of his outing sooner to go ahead and preserve the numbers that he is actually giving him. But I do believe that, you know, once again, I hate to be a negative Nancy all the time and just piss on everybody. Like, let's go ahead and project some growth for somebody. If Tyler Molly does come around and he can, you know, develop something to keep this, you know, bugaboo at bay the third time around, he can be a fairly serviceable pitcher, even if he's not putting wins on the board. And let's go ahead and say that wins are stupid. And I mean, if you want to throw that in your analysis going forward, then by all means. But I think when you look at a guy like Tyler Molly, you're looking at a deeper league and you've kind of already written that into his projections, because let's not use the word bait. But I do love me some Tyler Molly. I was the high guy on him in the Invitational, and I want him to keep kicking ass. And so far, I mean, like I said, those two starts are what's really holding them back from having a very good first month of the season.
For me, it's tough to say what I want to do with Tyler Molly, because his FIP is a half run worse than what he's doing now, but his XFIP is a half run better. His XFIP is almost an entire run better. But that's because he's giving up home runs at 2 home runs per 9. His home run to 5 ball rate is 23.7%. So obviously those are going to come down. But he's striking out people at a good clip. He's not walking a ton of people. His BABIP's right in par. His left on base is a little bit high, but I could see it sitting there. And his ground ball rate is a little bit lower. So I could see him being someone to buy on. But because he is on the Reds, like Kevin said, he's not going to get a ton of wins. He could get pulled earlier than normal because they will try to preserve some innings. So we will have to see exactly how he does for the entire year. But he's someone that I'm more likely to expect better things as the year goes on than to expect him to regress. Ray, what are your thoughts?
I mean, for me, I think there's, I mean, he's striking up more than 9.6 batters per 9 innings, so I like that he's only walking 2.52 guys per 9 innings, so that's something good. I think the home runs maybe will come down. The XFIP makes me a little curious about Molly. I know I'm not really going to get the wins out of him. I know that it's going to be some inconsistency. It's more of a wait and see for me on him. I'm not going to run out to get him. But maybe if he has a two-start week against opponents that I like, if he's maybe facing, well, I mean, it would be nice if he could face his own team. But maybe if he's facing like the Marlins or the Pirates or the Padres or something like that, maybe yeah, I'm gonna go after him and kind of stream him in there. But he's not somebody that I'm gonna look to rely on or anything like that. But, I mean, maybe it's possible, but I'm not seeing him as being anything other than maybe an SP 8 or 9.
What are your thoughts, Colin?
Yeah, I agree with Ray. I think that he's probably just a streamer. However, I do want to – I want to be the guy that owns him just in case Evan's right. And it doesn't happen that often, but if Evan's right, then I want to be the guy that's owning him. The problem that I see is he's given up a lot of home runs so far this year. He's given up 9 home runs in 39 innings, which attributes to the two home runs per 9 innings, which is definitely going to come down. I mean, that's got to be a lot of bad luck. But he does have some strikeout potential. He showed that against Atlanta. I'm surprised you're not throwing him in the trash, Evan, since he dominated your Braves, striking out 11 guys. Well, I mean,
the
Braves,
one of the best lineups in baseball. I mean, if he's going to go ahead and dominate a lineup like that, why wouldn't I be all about that guy?
Well, this was pre-Acuna, so, you know, give or take a few there.
He is the only thing keeping us afloat against the Rays tonight, as far as the last time I checked. So, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, but like I said, he's a guy that I want to go pick up if I'm in a deeper league. I'll stash him at the end of my bench, and I'll stream him against, you know, teams like Ray said, the Padres or such. And, you know, if he starts to, you know, keep giving up home runs, if he hasn't, you know, figured it all out, if they send him back down to AAA because it's the Reds, you know, that then I'll just cut bait. But you know, I don't mind throwing him at the end of my bench. I don't mind throwing him in my lineup for a good streaming option or a two-star week, but he's not someone that I'm running out to go get.
All right. Why don't we wrap it up? And Colin, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
You can find me at CWeatherWax13. I'm on quite a few podcasts with FWFB. I'm a guest on this podcast. I am with Mike the Rotocop and Randy Haynes on our Dirt Dogs podcast. You can find us once a week. And then also the Push Accept podcast with Ben Brennis, Donnie Miller, and sometimes Smata.
What about you, Evan? What are you working on and where can you be reached?
What am I working on? I'm working on annoying you, Ben. I'm working on interacting with the followers at FWFB. Tag me in literally anything. Like I dig random thoughts. I'm going to try and get on this Push Accept podcast and cause a little bit of mayhem. Because I mean, if the dude from, Rescue Me can, you know, make a return, then, I'm coming back. So mayhem 2018, here we go.
And what about you, Ray?
I'm on Twitter, Ray_Kuhn_28. And I'm hanging out here every week, writing an article every week. Writing some stuff over at Roto Professor as well, and starting to think about football, though it seems too early. I guess it's really never too early to start thinking about football.
Never.
And I can never. I can be reached at BBrandsFWFB. You can find me on the Push Accept podcast, like Colin was saying. You can also find me on this show. You'll be able to find me throughout the off season. Talking about NBA on the fantasy basketball podcast, joined by Eric Mackey, and I'm looking forward to football as well once we get started with those podcasts. So, from the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball season, everyone. Fall.